Let's welcome everybody in for the national edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. The Kipper Hills, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee for the next hour. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Andy Strickland, host of 590 The Fan in St. Louis, co-host of Cam and Strick podcast. It's always fun listening to those two guys talk hockey. And of course, we'll discuss the biggest story of at least yesterday is the firing of Craig Berube, head coach of the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, I mean... one of those guys that you just imagined was going to be there forever. Like, I never thought about the Blues in their coaching position because their coach is Craig Berube. What do you mean? Like, you're never going to fire that guy. However, they've been underperforming long enough, and at some point, you got to do something.
Okay, underperforming. I think I see, what, 13? What's their record? 13?
They're probably 12 and 13.
14-1?
Is that right? Okay, yeah.
Okay, game under 500, that's fireable offense when you won the Stanley Cup a short while ago.
They don't have no one. Robert Thomas and Kyrou and Saad and Buchnevich and Braden Shen. Like, they got players. Pareko. There it is. Krug and Falk. Like, they have enough players to win some hockey games.
Like Nashville, of course, firing earlier this year as well. Like, are these teams expecting to make the playoffs or
mid?
Contender.
I actually think the fact that the West is so bad at the bottom, at the wild card
that everybody
level,
wants to sneak in.
Well, everyone's going, you know, if we make the change, we can get that extra 10% from the dead cat bounce, and we can be the team who gets in. Get my owner the 7 home gates or the, you know, 6 home gates, whatever it may be.
Berube guided the Blues to the Stanley Cup when they were dead in the water by that year, that Christmas year, I think, or even January.
Yeah.
One of the worst teams in the league. I mean, this is a guy that made history, and we may never see that type of history ever again.
Right.
So you sound like you're a little upset
like
about
it.
This.
I'm not sure that nothing in life is fair, but yeah. I just don't know whether or not this warranted a firing.
I think that there are there's a type of coach, and I'm not putting him in Tortorella's camp, but like, he's a hard guy with high expectations, right?
They're called hard asses, JB.
Yeah, and you know what they are? They're a part of this honest era of hockey players who demands something of their players every day because that's what they gave. And I think at some point it does wear on guys. But hey, look at this. Like, Rick Tocchet is in that camp to me, and look at the success he's having in Vancouver. Rod Brind'Amour, another guy who played the game hard, honest, demands of his guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if it's wearing thin there, but he's had a lot of success. I don't know that I would put Torts in that camp necessarily, but no, he's one of a few guys who that's the reputation they have, right? And so he will be valuable to another team, is my point. The type of guy he is will earn him another NHL job before the season's over.
Leafs are playing great. Keefe's doing a good job, but God, can you imagine Berube, the coach of the Leafs?
You're firing Keefe?
No, I'm not.
Then why are you bringing it up?
He just said it, man.
I literally just said he's doing a great job, but can you imagine him as the coach of these guys, what the difference would be? Because it's just such a different style of thing.
Yes, he would lock some of their best players out of the dressing room.
I booked Craig Berube in our first season of the show, and the PR guy's like, yeah, sure, here's his number, try him.
He just
gave me his number. I gave him a call. Like, hey, yeah, sure, I'll come on.
Yeah, yeah. Not a lot of red tape with this guy.
No,
he calls it like he sees it.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Drew Bannister, who takes over. He was coaching Springfield in the American Hockey League.
You haven't been following the system structure of the American Hockey League team he coaches?
I don't know. I mean, you know, my first thought is they just want to get through the season. Don't want
to. Not having to pay the big bucks.
Don't have. But if there was somebody out there, would they even pay the big bucks? I don't know. But there are.
Coach Q, come back.
Yeah. You need a blessing for that to happen.
Mike Babcock's
at the National Hockey League office.
Any other good ideas, Bourne?
Any other?
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. It's not like there's an obvious replacement there for him.
All right. We expect to talk to Andy Strickland about that and where the Blues go and their expectations. So we'll wait more momentarily for him. Sammy, any word on?
I told him five after, so he's coming soon.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to discuss before we get to Andy?
Yeah, we can talk about the, you know, who they're fighting against there. The Calgary Flames last night playing Vegas. Another, you know, tough loss for this Flames team. And, you know, they played two really good teams.
Yeah, they did.
Really hard in Colorado and Vegas and leave those games with 1 point. Disappointing, I would say, for the Flames and where their season's at.
Moral kind of victories that you can go toe-to-toe and look good against Colorado at times and then the Stanley Cup champions. There has to be something in there, at least that lineup can say, even without Tanev, that we're not that far off, boys.
No, there are a few points out of the wild card spot, like two or well, actually just 2 points, but with games played, then they're helped out a bit. But yeah, so they're close. And you're right. With that moral victory, you feel like maybe they're a team that can climb up there. They're actually 1 point behind the Blues, who fired their coach. So goes to show how owners feel about teams at that part of the standings.
And I was watching the Battle of the Connors last night, and it lived up to exactly what you guys were talking about.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, Connor Bedard, his first goal, the only goal of the game,
Ba-ding!
Was unbelievable. Yeah. Like, the way he brings the puck into the middle of the ice where his body doesn't move, gets it far corner, bar down, beautiful. But the Blackhawks are just way too bad for that game to matter.
I should asked you to get the Stu Skinner clip about this, about the goal. He was like, yeah, you know, he pulls it in quick and he gets it off quick and he placed it perfectly, but there's probably something I can do there. He still didn't even know what he could have done to have theorized. He's like, yeah, I probably could have done something. Like
to change the angle of where he's set up and I don't know.
Bedard.
Yeah.
For me, it's also.
I don't know if there's anything humanly possible that you could change your vision of where your puck line is that quickly. That's how.
But he also knows that D-man is about to put pressure on him, and he lets him get close enough so he can pull it back and shoot it through the guy's triangle.
And that D-man, by the way, Ekholm.
Yeah, like a guy who's been in the league a few minutes.
It wasn't like Cody Ceci or one of like. Right. It's Ekholm.
Yeah.
Their top guy.
It's a nasty goal.
Really nice.
Okay, let's welcome in Andy Strickland, host of 590 The Fan in St. Louis, co-host of Cam and Strick podcast. Hey, you good? You ready? Where do we find you?
Kipper.
Where do we find you, Andy?
Kipper, I'm trying to do some Christmas shopping, man. I got like 2 hours. My son's got hockey tonight. They fire the coach. It's an off day today, you know? I mean, so, but you'll want to tune in tomorrow night, Bally Sports Midwest, for the game. It'll be interesting. Drew Bannister makes his NHL coaching debut. A lot of people asking who that is. So
who Bannister?
Drew Bannister. Yeah, he's been coaching down in the American League. So he's the only guy in the organization that has had coaching experience, you know. So they were limited in terms of the options. But I would imagine Doug Armstrong, he'll be working the phones, and they'll be trying to find a permanent replacement relatively soon.
Hey, I imagine your first one on your list, your shopping list, is something for Craig Berube because, I don't know, man, he could pack up and move it any second now. How surprised were you? This is a coach that, like, we're talking about some serious history. Just a few years ago, of taking a team out of nothing and turning him into Stanley Cup champions. I imagine it was a very difficult emotional decision for Doug Armstrong.
Yeah, I think it's difficult. I got to be honest with you, Kipper. Like, I've been through a number of coaches here in St. Louis, you know, and starting with Joel Quenneville. This has the feeling that's closely, you know, resembles Joel Quenneville, you know, in terms of when he got fired. You know, in terms of his popularity with the fan base, the accomplishments he had behind the bench and, you know, with the team on the ice and just, you know, how good of a coach he was. I remember a lot of heat, you know, was put on the Blues organization, Larry Pleau at the time for firing, you know, Q because the team, you know, was above 500 and, you know, they had a lot of success prior to him, you know, being ousted. And this has a much more similar feel, you know, way different than when Andy Murray came on board or Davis Payne. Or, you know, Mike Yeo or Ken Hitchcock, all these guys that have, you know, come through here. So, listen, the fan base is a little upset today. I think they look at, you know, the Blues organization, you know, how much it's changed, you know, since they won the cup back in 2019, the popular players who have moved on, who are no longer here, you know, David Perron was in the house last night. He didn't play, obviously, as you guys know, because of his suspension. But, you know, he had a couple of former Blues in the lineup who scored goals. Robbie Fabry had a goal. Jake Walman had a goal. Billy Huso's in net. But you don't have Vince Dunn, who's here, who obviously has gone on to Seattle from the expansion draft. He's had a lot of success there. Ryan O'Reilly was the captain here. And, you know, he's another one. Ivan Barbashev, you know, 27 years of age, signs a five-year deal to stay in Vegas. Tarasenko's no longer here. I mean, it's got a lot of players. Jaden Schwartz is another one, I mean, who were integral part of the core, you know, that brought this team a Stanley Cup. But I know you can't keep the band together forever, as Doug Armstrong said today. But the pieces that they've used to replace those guys just really haven't panned out. And it's a big part of the reason as to why we're in the situation that we're in today.
So how much of this then is the team really underachieving the roster compared to just looking at maybe the job Doug Armstrong has done with some of those players and going, boy, we're losing and I got to do something here?
You know, listen, I think it's a great question. And I think the fan base and a lot of the media, to be honest with you, they're pointing the finger at Doug Armstrong right now.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, we're going to find out what that answer is in terms of how the team responds and how they play the rest of this season. You know, is this a coaching issue or is this a roster issue? You know, I look at this team and I don't think anybody expected this team to compete for a Stanley Cup this year. You know, you had a lot of pieces, you know, obviously that, you know, the Blues got, whether it's off of waivers or off the scrap heap from other organizations who had term left in their contract, hoping that they would maybe catch lightning in a bottle. Guys like, you know, Kasperi Kapanen, you know, Jaakko Brana, you know, who's, you know, going down to the American League today. He cleared waivers. You know, Sammy Blais, you know, the three of those players last year when they were brought on board around the trade deadline, I think they combined for close to 30 goals. Nobody expected them to produce at that level this season. But, you know, you just kind of have a bunch of different personalities, a bunch of different players, and you just don't see that line-to-line and shift-to-shift chemistry or cohesion that we're used to seeing with the St. Louis Blues team. You know, so I'm not going to completely let Craig Berube off the hook here either. I mean, defensively, they've been poor. Their special teams have been historically bad over the course of the last two seasons. I mean, their power play is absolutely atrocious. They had an opportunity again last night to have that make a difference in the game, and they didn't, and they haven't been able to figure that out. So, you know, listen, I'm not of the belief, and Kipper, you can comment on this too. I mean, you can talk about skill and all you want. I don't know if skill is required to always keep the puck out of the net. You know, sometimes you just got to have a little bit of commitment, a little bit of compete. We're used to seeing that from a St. Louis Blues team. And now when you see them not competing at the level that's been the standard here for a long time, I think that's hard to accept for the fan base, to be honest with you. But you go back to this past weekend, right? Back-to-back games against Columbus and Chicago. You lose both those games. I think at that time you had a feeling that we could be getting to the point where we're at right now. Then you lose last night to Detroit. They're without Larkin. They're without Perron. You lose that game. They lost to San Jose on the road earlier this year. They lost to Minnesota on the road when Minnesota was in the midst of a 7-game losing streak. We're not even 30 games into the season. They've got some bad losses on their record right now.
Andy, so what is the big picture here, that this is a coaching change made because we believe we are a playoff team and we should be there? Or was there ever a thought that this is a transition year, all out with the Tarasenkos of the world and Petrangelos, and we got to start developing young kids again? Like, what is the main goal here moving forward? Development or getting to the playoffs?
Well, they're spending to the cap. You know, I know most teams do spend to the cap nowadays anyway, but when you're spending to the cap, I think the idea and the mindset has to be to make the playoffs. I mean, you can't tell the Blues chairman, Tom Stillman, that, hey, we're going to spend to the cap, but we're going to miss the playoffs. I think the mindset is always to make the playoffs. I think they looked at the division and they said, okay, you've got your two alpha males in Colorado and Dallas, and then the third place position is going to be up for grabs, you know, and now obviously the wild card as well. And they felt like they could compete with the Winnipegs and the Nashvilles and the Arizonas, you know, to slide in behind Colorado and Dallas. But all it takes is one, you know, losing streak. You know, they lost four in a row now. You start to lose more than that, I mean, you're out of it. You're donezo for the season. And it's tough to recover from that. But I think it's a great question. I think they came into the season thinking they could make the playoffs. I asked Doug Armstrong that today. Does he think this is the playoff team? I think he believes that they're good enough to make the playoffs. I don't think he goes beyond that, thinking that they're a contender. But once you get in, anything can happen. But, you know, you look at their roster side by side to the teams that they're losing to right now. I just think it's unacceptable. And, listen, I had a chance to talk to Craig Berube. I think that he probably would admit that his message wasn't getting through to the team, mm-hmm. and that it got stale. And he's a very intense coach. You know, he wants his team to play a certain way. And I think he looks at the roster right now and says, this is not what you would typically see from a St. Louis Blues team. And it's probably not a good fit for his coaching style. I think he would admit that. So with some of the pieces that you have in the lineup right now, it's these aren't really Craig Berube type players where you can make the case they certainly were when they were having a lot of success and obviously won the Stanley Cup.
Couple of teams in the West that'll be fighting for the wild card spot are Canadian teams, both in Alberta. The Oilers have been climbing up, and the Flames have been, I don't know what you want to say they're doing. They're trying their darndest, just like the St. Louis Blues. Do you have any thoughts on either of those two teams that they'll be competing with for those final spots?
Well, it looks like Edmonton is who we thought that they would be right. coming into the season, yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, that shouldn't be a surprise. It's interesting because they fell so far down at the beginning of the season that kind of opened up the idea that maybe one of these teams out of the Central could steal one of those wild card right. spots, you know? And now they're back to, you know, playing at the level that they should. You know, sometimes a coaching change can do that, guys. Listen, I've seen it, man. I mean, and you guys obviously have too. But, you know, I saw Andy Murray take over a team that almost made the playoffs. They were completely out of it when he took over. Then they made the playoffs the next year, I believe. Davis Payne, no one even knew who the hell he was. And he gets a contract extension, you know, as the head coach here. I'd never been a head coach in the NHL. Great guy, by the way. Sorry, Painter. He's now an assistant coach in Ottawa.
He was my coach in the ECHL. He was a great coach.
Oh, yeah. The House of Payne.
Yeah.
But, and then, you know, Ken Hitchcock wins the Jack Adams when he took over. Craig Berube wins the Stanley Cup the year that he took over. So, you know, you look at what Edmonton's doing right now. They're winning virtually every night. What John Hines is doing in Minnesota. You know, sometimes we've seen this before. You make that coaching change, a new voice, it gets people's attention. You know, Drew Bannister knows a number of players inside this dressing room, having coached them in the American League, both in San Antonio and most recently in Springfield. So he's auditioning for his job. I would not call him a serious candidate as it sits right now, but he can certainly coach his way into becoming one. It's interesting because when Chief took over, I don't think the idea for Doug Armstrong was to hire Craig Berube as the next head coach. In fact, I think they were interviewing potential coaching candidates even after the playoffs had started, thinking about who was going to be the head coach beyond the 18-19 season. Craig Berube coached his way into being that guy, and now he's highly regarded throughout the league, and he's going to land on his feet very, very quickly.
So this is an organization, speaking of coaches, man, like Hall of Fame, you just mentioned them all. You didn't even throw in Keenan Meyer. Like, these were big, bigger-than-life type of guys behind a bench. Are Blue fans going to be okay with this this guy coming in, or you got to go out there and find a big name to someone that's they've been accustomed to all these years?
You know, listen, they're not happy right now. Kipper, they're really not. They're upset, you know, and they love Chief. You know, he's a guy that you see out at a local restaurant, at a local bar, much like Quenneville. And when he sees you, you know, he doesn't hide. He's not one of these guys who just hides. You know, he's a man of the people and very approachable, great guy. You know, he played over 1,000 games in the league. Like, he just kind of gets it, and he has that relatability. But listen, I get it from Doug Armstrong's standpoint as well. You know, sometimes the message gets stale. And you look at how they're losing, who they're losing to. This was not going to correct itself. Special teams, team defense. I mean, that's really the name of the game, to be honest with you. If you can't keep the puck out of your own net and you can't be consistent from a special team standpoint. It's really difficult to win hockey games. Craig, listen, Jordan Binnington's been great this season. And if he didn't perform the way that he had, you know, the first month of the season, this is probably a lottery team, to be honest with you. So he covered up a lot of those mistakes. They've been probably better defensively this season than they were last year. But the negative trends that we're seeing from the St. Louis Blues right now, these are not new. These have been ongoing for at least the last 2 years.
One more for me, Andy, and I promise to let you go here so you can wrap
good.
Up.
Oh.
The last few years, we've seen kind of the keys being passed over to Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou, 8-year deals, big money. They are the future. Is that still the case here, the building around these guys?
Well, I think so. Thomas has been great this year, honestly. I mean, he's matching up against the other team's number one center every single night. He's putting up points. You know, he and Pavel Buchnevich have chemistry together. You know, Kyrou, obviously, for whatever reason, he's not scoring. You know, this guy had 37 goals last season. He was like, you know, minus 100. Didn't even have a good year last year and scored 37. He can be an electrifying player, but it's not happening this year. So, you know, I talked to him today. He's got a good rapport, actually, with the guy who's coming in, Drew Bannister, who played for him down in the American League. I'll be interested to see. He's the one player that I'm kind of curious to see how he reacts and how his game translates now with having a new, you know, guy behind the bench. Does this really get a guy like, you know, Jordan Kyrou going? Because they got to get him going. But, yeah, there's no doubt they've committed to these guys. They're making a lot of money. But, you know, I look at some of these teams around the league, like Boston and some of these, you know, offensive teams who can get up and down the ice. They've got a ton of skill in their lineup. I mean, you put Jordan Kyrou in one of these lineups, man. I mean, he would be great, honestly. There's a lot to be left to be desired in terms of his two-way game, although he's had more commitment this year to playing in the defensive end. Not to get all analytic on you, but there was a time when he was, like, leading the all Blues forwards and block passes in the defensive end, and he was making a more of a commitment to play in his own end and not just be a guy that wants to run and gun it and cheat a little bit. But you need this guy to perform. And when you're don't produce on the power play, it's kind of tough for your top offensive players to have, you know, impactful stats or impressive stats.
Hey, the three of us aren't hard to shop for. Just gift cards work,
yeah,
too, right?
Pretty simple, man. Don't overdo it.
What do you want? What do you want? Help me.
To be able to make a 4-foot putt.
Yes. A new putter or new hands. Andy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for doing this.
You guys are the best. Anytime. And good to see you guys, too. So
thanks.
I hope this doesn't look too goofy.
Looks great.
Nah, you're great,
you know,
man. Shopping, the look of shopping always works for us. Andy Strickland.
Thanks, Strick.
From the Cam and Strick podcast. Yeah, I think the St. Louis Blue fans have been spoiled with some really
big personalities.
Really, yeah.
Two questions. Sorry.
I have a question for you before
okay.
I get in.
Yeah.
This is completely off the rails, but I have to ask anyway. I was looking at Davis Payne.
Okay, yeah.
Because he was talking about him.
Yeah.
And he coached, this is a ECHL question.
Yeah.
What is the PD Pride?
No idea.
Okay.
There's
a team. The PD Pride.
What year is that?
From 01 to 03, he was the head coach, or an assistant coach, head coach with them. And then he was the Alaska Aces coach, your head coach.
I got nothing on the Pride.
No, never played against the Pride?
No idea.
Okay,
can't
right.
even think of a state
right.
or a city
okay.
that would be called that.
What's the coach's name again?
Davis Payne was the coach.
Oh, no.
Oh.
The Bannister. Bannister.
Yeah.
Isn't that like Incredible Hulk guy?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Isn't their character?
Yes.
In the Incredible Hulk?
We actually are going to get killed for not knowing Bruce Banner. Is that what you're looking
for? Bruce Banner?
Yeah.
Or not Bruce Bannister?
No, it's definitely not Bannister.
Oh, it's not Bannister.
It's
okay.
Bruce,
I'm in the ballpark.
Yeah, you're close. I mean,
by the way, I made like a silly, you know, who Bannister joke. He played years in the NHL, 6 years or something. Like he's, you know,
I don't remember him.
I do. I just don't remember, you know.
What, how old is he?
49. Two questions.
He's younger than me.
I was looking at Berube's hockey DB, the little prospects page, actually. You must have played with him. He was in Hershey and Philly.
We're teammates.
You were, okay. Yeah. In Philly, sorry, in Hershey?
In Hershey.
So his Hershey stats are why I wanted to ask you this. 63 games, 7 goals, 17 assists, 325 PIMS.
God, he is scary.
You guys must have had some fun together.
Scary.
So then my eye goes to the PIM category. He had like 15 years of like 200 PIMS. So all-time PIMS guys, I went to the list. 7th all-time in NHL PIMS with 3,149.
Badass.
Can you name the 6 men ahead of Craig Berube in all-time PIMS?
Tiger Williams.
Number 1.
Ty Domi.
Number 3.
Bob Probert.
Number 5.
Rob Bray.
Number 6. There's 2 to go.
Marty McSorley.
Yeah, you got it. Wow, boys. My numbers are all off. You have 5 of the 6. There's 1 more.
We didn't get number 4 yet?
Yeah, you don't have the number 2 guy yet.
Number Probe. 2 guy. Bro, I said Probert.
Probert said, okay. Yeah.
This is incredible.
This is embarrassing.
The guy who's 8th and the guy who's 2nd are related. There it is.
Yeah. Dale Hunter. Yeah, you don't really kind of think of him as the fighter
heavy,
guy.
Yeah. Same way.
Just a guy that...
I can't believe that was really impressive trivia that you guys just rattled off 5 of the 6 like that.
My favorite thing ever was just to watch fights. Like I grew up, fights. Anyways.
Yeah, rounding out the top 10 is Tim Hunter, Chris Nyland, what's up, Knuckles, and Rick Tocchet at 10.
That's a lot of time in the penalty box. So there was this one time, I don't know what I did, goofy.
You passed 7 on the scale?
No, I did something, and I got Craig Berube so mad that he jumped off the bench to come and get me.
To chase you?
Yes.
Your old teammate?
Yes. But, like, at that point, it didn't. You can be best friends. I know his role. He knows mine. If you fight, you
It'd
fight.
It'd been like a bear chasing me. I'd been throwing his gloves.
I see
eats
him coming after me, and then I'm like, oh, boys, please. You know, I need the big, I need the wolf pack mentality right now.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, Bill McCurry's the referee, and he grabs him. He goes, you just came off the bench. You're suspended for 10 games. And I'm like, Bill, you just saved my life.
Thank you.
Suspended? Because the moment Bill told him that he came off the bench for a suspension, he stopped focusing on me.
Yes.
I'm like, wow. Goes, what do you mean? Yeah. What do you mean? You came off the bench. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. I'm like, okay, you guys go work it out amongst yourselves, okay? I'm just going to go back to my bench.
That's more like being chased by a bear throwing a steak out of your pocket.
Yeah.
It just took him off your scent exactly. A little bit. That's great.
God, Dale Hunter's hockey DB is so impressive.
You got
1,400
well.
Games, over 1,000 points, 3,500 penalty minutes. That's
busy.
He was as good as it gets
in the games when he was out there. Shannon's up there,
for
23rd.
One, for like, you got to start considering these guys in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
But because why? They had too many penalty minutes?
You know what? They were an impactful part of a period of hockey.
Huge impactful.
You know, like
he played 186 playoff
games. They changed series.
Would you say
that's for sure.
Maybe one of the best cases might be Marty McSorley? Because he was a good player, too, for a while, right? No?
I'm going to go through these guys. To me, like, one of the best transitions from complete tough guy, quote-unquote goon, to a guy that helped himself by developing a position on the LA Kings to police and still play 20 minutes a night.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
You know, it is. I would say of the guys who are like kind of top 20, Pat Verbeek is 11th in PIMS, but he's not really what you're talking about for that kind of impactful guy. Chelios and Stevens, I assume, are in. I don't know who you'd put in the Hall of Fame.
If Pat wasn't buried in Hartford all those years, he could have had an easier time to be considered for the Hall of Fame, that's for sure.
Bob Probert, you know, like impactful guy. I don't know.
They'll never do that.
Dale Hunter, to me, though, like that, I know, I hate to praise him because just his junior hockey team has haunted my life.
But
like, his numbers are incredible. Oh, Tocchet's
a 3,000 PIM guy.
How's Tocchet not in the Hall of Fame?
I mean, he has my favorite stat ever, the all-time leader in Gordie Howe hat-tricks is the most badass stat you can have.
You cannot be more involved in hockey games than that.
That's as good as it gets.
Yeah, like, is there a stat column? I will fill it, whatever you need me to do. Yeah.
Are you going to do game time or are we going to come back to it?
No, we can do it right now.
All right.
How's that sound?
Let it rip.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Going back to my underdog plays, I know people probably don't love it. I don't think
yesterday was great.
No, I did. Got the Red Wings as an underdog in St. Louis. Yep. And they won 6-4. My Flyers lost in OT. to the Nashville Predators. Oh, and Kipper.
Pittsburgh did beat Arizona.
They did. Yeah. I wanted to mention, did you see Andy Frost do the play-by-the intros for the Philadelphia Flyers yesterday?
I did not.
Oh, did I not send that to the group?
No, I don't know.
Oh, Mike, because obviously his son Morgan plays for the Flyers.
And the sound of all those years on Q107 and the Toronto Maple Leafs.
His voice does something to me. Like, it brings out a feeling in me that I haven't felt. Like, it's just like your youth as a hockey fan. Like, it's like
my wife when she hears Barry White.
Yeah, Bing. You know, maybe.
Bad example.
Maybe a bad example. I'm trying to think. Anyways, it was an awesome clip. If you haven't seen it,
but
Tortorella brings him in and he does like the whole full on announcing of it.
But he didn't start Morgan.
He didn't know.
Which is insane to me. You're going to bring in Andy to call the lineup.
Hey.
Andy's a hockey guy. He gets it.
He thinks his son's not good enough, didn't deserve it. Good for him. Tough love.
Put Spezza in the press box.
And the guys in the room were so fired up.
Yeah.
They were just loving it. So I wanted to bring that up if you haven't seen that. For tonight, the Bruins visiting New Jersey. Bruins are an underdog in that game, plus 105.
Listen, if they're goaltending goes just a tad south on them.
The Bruins?
I'm fully off the Bruins wagon. And I don't think they're very good.
Right back in the mix.
The Devils can't get a save. The Devils' goaltending is really, really bad.
If the Devils and the Bruins flipped goaltending, Devils would be where the Bruins are or better.
Yeah.
For the Devils!
And vice
versa. The Devils!
So I like the Bruins tonight in New Jersey as an underdog. And the other one I was looking at, second half of back-to-back for Kipper's beloved Pittsburgh Penguins playing in Montreal. They're a huge favorite. I don't think they should be favored huge against anybody. Give me the Habs as a plus 125.
Wednesday night,
me betting against Doobie.
Night game of the week here for you on Rogers.
I am on Le Television. I will be talking about how Cole Caulfield cannot shoot the hockey puck into the hockey net tonight. If you'd like to stick around and listen to that.
Do you care to divulge any of those, or are you going to save it for
sure?
Sure.
Last year, he was 12 for 27 on one-timers. This year, he's 0 for 15. And he's getting the pucks in the same spot.
12 for 27 is really good.
Really insanely
really
high.
Really good.
Yeah.
He's hitting the net. He's not hitting the net.
He's kind of getting the same shots at the same rates from the same places. I'm not, it's just not going in.
Okay.
Is it a given he's going to be a really good, consistent 40-goal scorer?
I thought so. I can't say it's a given. No.
Okay.
I balked at that contract and it was signed. And to me, it's a scary one. Okay. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Is the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, still plenty to go here on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. News and notes, including Brady Tkachuk.
Oh my God!
A penalty shot that didn't go exactly his way, but it's his reaction that we'll discuss after the break.
You like a squirrely player? He's Captain Squirrely.
Squirrely.
Also, some talk about the Washington Capitals moving.
Yeah.
Nobody mentioned this to me when I was there
earlier
this year.
All the way 4 miles away.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perron appealing his suspension. Plenty to talk about when we return on Real Kipper and Bourne.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Ottawa Senators seem to be in this kind of win one, lose one, win one. That ain't going to dig you out of the...
Frustrating team.
It's not digging you out of the Eastern Conference. And they played last night, the Carolina Hurricanes, and the team that a few teams have taken advantage of while they kind of get their season on track.
Yeah.
But late in the game... 4-1. Is the game over? It's not over. It's still about 4.5 minutes to go left in the game. Brady Tkachuk gets a penalty shot. Kochetkov is the goaltender for Carolina.
Also squirrely.
Did he drop his stick? Did he throw his stick? Do you think it warranted a penalty shot?
Yes. I'm pro. If you're unsure, call the shot.
Yeah.
Hold on to your stick.
Yeah.
I'm with you there. You don't drop your stick.
Yeah.
But they, I mean, they really have changed the goalposts on penalty shots. Like a guy would have a step from the blue line in the first week of the season, and they'd call
so
it.
So true.
And then the Leafs have had like 2-on-0s where Knies gets hauled down. They're like, no, nothing. They've changed the standard. Anyways, continue.
Yes.
Kochetkov stops him. Mm-hmm. It was the reaction of Brady Tkachuk that caught your eye.
Well, the Kochetkov stopped him thing is, I think, frustrating if you're a Senators fan, because he makes a leaping aggressive poke check.
Very Johnny Bauer-like poke check.
And the poke doesn't come within a foot and a half of the puck, but it goes directly into Tkachuk's skate, who goes down hard and hits the boards pretty hard and gets up angry. You had a take and you wouldn't tell us about it before. Well, you like it or no? Think it was, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I absolutely loved it from Kochetkov.
Yeah.
You're trying to stop the penalty shot. I think it's a big, like, I love Brady Tkachuk and I love how aggressive he is. This is a big baby look for me.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was a bad look for him to go after the goal. He got his pad up and he got the shot off, but the stick affected him. He made the save with his, what is Brady doing?
I'm with Sammy. Like, the guy played you hard, and play's dead.
He was coming in too slow. Yeah. He had his head down. He wasn't paying attention.
Early enough, you can just stop and go around.
Yes.
I will say, I saw some goalies tweeting that you don't necessarily make the poke check at the puck. The guy's going to be stick handling. You're poking towards where you expect the puck to be.
Yes.
And if Tkachuk's going to go around him, you would do it. You would lead him a little bit, and you got your stick out there.
Martin Jones did it to Zibanejad last night when he tried to cut out in front.
I've
swiped it away.
I've had a conversation a few times with some NHL head office people over the years, and I'm like, what happens if a goalie just comes out and plays the man? Decks him.
Ask Tim Thomas
just
about that.
Two-minute penalty.
Absolutely decks him.
Tim Thomas smoked one of the Sedins. Remember
and, the answer is nothing.
Nothing would happen.
Nothing. Next.
I love it, yeah. We'll cross that bridge when we ever come to it. Probably won't. Yeah.
I'd love to see it.
But, you know, I think the Tkachuk reaction is a product of a growing sense of frustration. You know, that they need that one, or that game is slipping away. That game is gone at that point, but that puck not going in the net. And I think Tkachuk's just, he's sick of it. He's competitive. He doesn't want to be on a team that's eighth in the Atlantic
all
year.
He had a fiery look in his eye. I've got no problem with the reaction of Brady Tkachuk there either. It's fine.
Tkachuk's a little off his nut,
he's not happy.
So they should let him go.
Bad luck.
No, it's not a horrible look, Sammy. No, it's not. It's a competitive look.
No, you're going after the goalie. The ref has to get in between you and the goalie, and none of your teammates are on the ice to defend your goalie. It's a bad look. It's a bad look. I'm sorry.
No good. Yeah. No good. For Brady?
Yeah, he can go after the goalie. What other situation?
If he really wanted to get him, he could have got him.
Yeah, but he didn't.
But
what other situation do you ever have in a hockey game where you get to go mouth-to-mouth with a goalie and give him a piece of your mind because he made a save on you? Everybody else is on the bench. They can't defend their goalie. Like, it's just a bad look for Brady. You got stopped. Like, I love Brady Tkachuk.
No, you're making this way too big.
No, I think it was bad. I think it's a bad look. I really do. Sour grapes, man. You got stopped on a breakaway. He stopped you. Too bad.
This is the start of an anti-Tkachuk stance. We haven't had her on the show. Very pro-Tkachuk show.
Love Tkachuk.
Yeah.
Truly one of my favorite players in the league.
Yeah.
Hated last night. Hated it.
No. Yeah. Fine with it.
And they're last place.
Don't need you to be polite. We got enough of those guys in the league. Okay. Sour grapes. Good.
Yeah.
Entertaining.
All right.
Good stance for the team.
Before you go to Otani.
Okay. Oh, we'll go to Otani?
No.
To the All-Star game.
We thought we wouldn't go to Otani. We've got like Otani.
We could easily do an Otani show.
Oh, okay. No, we're going to save Otani.
Okay.
Go
All-Star
hockey.
All-Star game.
Yes.
The
league announced a new skills format.
Yes, which
and
I love.
You love. Okay, so tell us about it.
So the skills format is 12 NHL players will be in the All-Star Game skills contest, and there will be 6 skills event. Each player will get to pick 4 that they want to participate in, and they will earn points based on how they rank in those 4 events.
Okay.
The players who have the most points that are remaining, I think it's 6 or 8 of the players out of the 12, whoever the most points, will go on to 2 more events, one of them being a shootout and one of them being an obstacle course. And they're playing for $1 million. The winning player will get $1 million. They will care about that. It's the NHL. It's not the NBA play-in tournament.
So we know Connor will be one of them for sure, but how do they go about picking 11 other guys?
Good question. Maybe they just hand-pick them. Who we think is the most entertaining? It's our show.
excuse me.
It's $1 million on the line? I get to be in.
Why is he more entertaining than me? I want $1 million chance.
I don't know. What's it called in the PGA Tour? The player impact? They have like a, I don't know, whoever's getting tweeted about the most. We're putting the people in who people care about the most. If you want to be in the All-Star Skills next year, Kip, then tweet something interesting. Give us a good interview. Dress nice. We need to be entertained.
So you got Willie in there then.
Willie's in.
Willie Styles.
Bedard's in. McDavid's in. Sid's in. All the guys that are selling your tickets. In Toronto
Kucherov?
For $1 million.
Kucherov?
He's a fringer.
He's leading the league in points, isn't he?
Hughes is in.
First thought is I like it.
I'm going to watch it
because
there's stakes. $1 million is auto stakes.
I'm not going through the motions on my lap.
When I hear this, the first thing I think of is, hey, they got hockey people to go back and do it.
Doesn't it feel like that?
No.
It feels
No, that's exactly what happened.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. They took it out of like non-hockey people with the
social
dunk,
media people
with dunk contests in Florida.
Oh my God!
I'm shocked they're still in business after that.
The league,
yeah, the league.
The league
should have folded after the dunk competition in Florida last year.
Okay.
The mere fact that we're all here with jobs in itself is a miracle. At Christmas.
No, but the fact that we didn't die of boredom watching people try to pass pucks into the little net, it is impressive that we're finally
here. Can I just say that I take a lot of pride as a Toronto person that they're like, okay.
We're going to Toronto.
We got to do this right.
We got to do hockey.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's in the hockey mecca. People away.
Connor's all over
it,
right?
The thing.
They kind of built it around Connor.
Well, I think they
had smart.
They had
hockey guys.
Yes.
I think
not
they
hard
had
to
say.
Figure it out.
Yeah,
like
Connor helped.
Connor, the league, hockey people in the league, NHLPA, they all got back again and said, "We can't have that atrocity that we had in Florida last year."
Yeah, we'd throw a couple bucks at this thing.
So good. We're watching. We're watching
100%
again.
Are they doing? I'm embarrassed. I don't know. Is it 5-on-5 this year? Have they said?
I believe it's 5-on-5.
Is that accurate, Kipper? Do you know?
Yes, because it's a draft, right?
Two-team
draft.
So it's 5-on-5. Yeah.
They're doing hockey this year.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
Yes.
What's the deal? I'm not really up on this. Did the Washington Capitals officially say that they're moving to Potomac?
I don't really know, Kipper. I thought you would know this kind of thing.
Not official, but they're going to. It sounds like there's no option to, like, I think DC was like, yeah, we'll do a $500 million reno. And they're like, that's going to be great for the lower bowl, but that's not going to cut it. This is a whole, like, Glendale type thing where it's a real estate play. There's, restaurants.
If they're along the Potomac River, it will be spectacular.
It's supposed to be awesome. It's 4 miles from their current home, not a crisis. I did see that, technically it's the suburbs and there's only a few teams in the suburbs and that hasn't gone well. Ottawa, Arizona, Florida. But... it's very technically the suburbs. They'll be fine.
Okay. No real shock. Alan Walsh, the agent for David Perron, appealing the suspension.
I'm only shocked because, he did a six-game suspendable thing. Right?
Yeah, that's a really hard one to appeal.
Yeah. It's like,
what's the case?
Well, the case is other examples where it doesn't look. It's just, why him? Yeah. Why not my guy? Why my guy? Why not him? But the goofy part about always an appeal is it's a slow process.
And it takes forever.
It's to Gary first, and then it's done with Gary, and then it comes back, and then they go find an independent arbitrator.
That's the one, right? That it took the length of his suspension to rule on.
Like, he may save one game.
Yeah.
If he's lucky, the decision off an independent arbitrator would come back.
Well, that's what it's about.
And he'd save, $50,000?
That's what it's about. Getting that money.
Get that money.
Okay. That's what they care about. That's fine. But you're still out 5 games for sure.
I
wasn't aiming for his jaw. I swear.
Yeah.
I didn't even see him there.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a tough one to appeal.
You took 3 strides. Yeah. Jumped. So, maybe didn't jump.
Okay. Anything else around the league?
Well, I guess we just kind of got into the Connor versus Connor thing, but
No, no, I want the Ohtani now. We have 5 minutes. Oh, we got to do Ohtani.
Okay, so I saw our Ben Nicholson.
Smith. BNS. Smith. The West End Weapon.
West End Weapon.
One of the nicest guys in the world.
Tweeted out that our good buddy in Los Angeles now, Ohtani, has got an out clause in his deal that's around personnel, management personnel. If someone, I don't know, gets fired or resigns or leaves.
Part of like the trade you made?
He can get out of his deal?
That's baffling.
Is that how I read it correctly, Sammy?
That messes up contracts for every team forever. If you can have a contract clause that's like, if I don't like what you're doing, I can leave.
How is someone not, like, you know, I had to take a lot of crap from all the American baseball writers being like, this is good for baseball. How is this contract and this deferral and these things where he's like, I get whatever I want at all times, right? And they're like, of course, Shohei. How is this good for baseball? I'm sorry. Like, okay, he plays for a premier team. That's it. This is a joke. Like,
I think it's a joke, too.
You know, it's embarrassing. Like, you're just catering too much.
Yeah, it's
sure, he hit 40 homers. He's not Messiah.
It is completely messing with the integrity of
contract structure.
Yeah. And, like, what was wrong with just, hey, you play 82 games, this is what we're going to pay you. But now it's so many of these things, and obviously they don't have a hard salary cap like we do in hockey. So you're going to find different ways to get out of the luxury tax, yeah, I think, in baseball, right?
It's a competitive balance tax, yeah.
But I think when you start dealing with these side deals, and now it's like, what are we going to get to the point where you're paying a player's paying a team,
yeah,
to loophole all these things,
well,
that are supposed to.
Every team in every tax heavy state is now going to be like, do we have to give deals to the elite guys that say we'll pay you later, and, like, when, like, you're not here?
For the Toronto Maple Leafs, they use something that few teams don't have the luxury of doing, and that is front loading signing bonuses up towards $12 or $14 million. Guess what? No other owner has that cash.
Yeah, to just say,
and that is huge for the Leafs to use as a competitive balance to offset state tax, saving another guy $1 million by playing in Nashville or
Dallas, Florida.
Florida.
It's good for the team, right? Yeah. If you want to trade him later, he's already.
But how far are we going now? How far are we going to mess with that? Like, we're not going to even hear about contracts anymore.
So. This clause, Kip, is it about front office or is it player related at all?
I think it's probably player related too. This guy is
too much power.
Imagine like, a day though where he goes, I'm not liking the way you guys traded Betts or whoever,
just
I'm out.
Name him pitcher, DH, and general manager.
Yeah,
do it now.
Honestly.
What happens if he starts playing okay for a bit? He's 30.
He's still a human.
Back in the 70s.
UCL surgery.
Back in the 70s, what happened with a few teams, including the Philadelphia Flyers, was that the owner, Snyder, wanted to keep salaries low. So instead of having it paid out in a contract, they would start giving away like boats and cars.
Yeah.
And word got around, some guys were getting all these perks.
Right.
And other guys weren't. And the dissension was bad.
Yeah.
Well, it was just, it was not,
well, now
it's not a good feeling.
Making less than half of Ohtani's contract.
How did the Dodgers feel about Show coming in there and just having all this power? It's not good.
Agreed. And it's like Mookie Betts is unbelievable at baseball. So Freddie Freeman, unbelievable baseball player, who are both there. And it's like, we're just as important to this team as you are, buddy.
They're like, we disagree. You know, like.
So when someone gets moved down in the batting order, it's because, I don't know. Who else made that decision?
What we're saying is keep him.
Yes.
Keep him, maybe LA.
Unless he opts out and comes to the Blue Jays, of course.
In which case.
Hey, guys, this is a hockey show. Stop making me talk baseball.
You love the Ohtani talk.
The Ohtani thing.
You love it. Love it.
Our thanks to Jim Ralph in the first hour and Andy Strickland in the second hour. 5 games on tap. Make sure you catch my good friend JB on Wednesday Night Hockey, Montreal, and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Have a great night, everybody.